I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Corruption, bribery, extortion, abuse of power, all ingredients for a massive scandal that's consuming South Korean President Park Geun-hye right now. She's facing an impeachment vote tomorrow, and it's not looking good. Jason Strother reports for us often from his base in Seoul, so just remind us of the scandal surrounding President Park. Jason, what's it all about?
Well, it's centered around a decades-long friendship Ms. Park has with a woman named Chae-soon Shil. What is alleged is that Ms. Park gave unprecedented access to this friend. She reportedly shared and had Ms. Chae edit government speeches, even weigh in on government policy. South Korean prosecutors who have indicted Ms. Chae on corruption charges say that President Park even pressured companies like Samsung, Hyundai to give tens of millions of dollars to this close friend. She ran a couple charities and then ran off with much of that money. But the prosecutors say Ms. Park, who they've named as a criminal accomplice, did pressure these companies to give money, but they can't investigate her. She has refused to participate, and she can't be charged because as a sitting president, she's immune from criminal prosecution.
Now, this friend of President Park's, Chae-soon Shil, there's also an interesting background to her story, too. Is she like a clairvoyant or an astrologer or something?
Well, it's hard to parse what is rumor or not. But what we do know is that her father, he was a clairvoyant, of course. His name was Chae Tae-min. Back in the 1970s, he ran basically a cult, something between shamanism, Buddhism, and Christianity. He reached out to the young Park Geun-hye in 1974 after her mother was assassinated by a North Korean sympathizer. You have to remember, President Park's father, Park Chung-hee, was the dictator until his own death in 1979. The cult leader, Mr. Chae, said to the young Miss Park that he could speak to her deceased mother. And from that time, a very close friendship with the family ensued.
Is this impeachment vote unprecedented in South Korea?
Actually, no, Marco. In 2004, the current ruling party impeached President Nam Ho-yeon. They say that he used his position as president to influence votes in a parliamentary election at the time. He was stripped of his powers. It went to the Constitutional Court, but the judges said that the impeachment was not constitutional, and President Nam then got his job back.
So possibly that could happen also with Park Geun-hye.
Absolutely.
And what is the buzz among the political class in Seoul about how culpable Park Geun-hye might be?
Well, I mean, if you look at her approval ratings, which are at best 4% right now.
Ouch.
Yeah, not good. And millions of South Koreans have taken to the streets over the past several weeks calling for her resignation. And even overnight now, you know, ahead of this impeachment vote, there are protesters camping out by the National Assembly.
Park Geun-hye is the first female president of South Korea. I'm just wondering if that fact alone has upset or saddened some Koreans. And I think of Dilma Rousseff in Brazil, who went through her impeachment proceedings. And there were some who felt that that was partly motivated by sexism.
There's not that kind of sympathy here in Korea for President Park. I mean, even when she ran for office back in 2012, even feminists here, and there aren't a whole lot of South Korean feminists, say that she didn't represent them. She was from the conservative party. Her father was a dictator. They did not feel that President Park was looking out for their interests as women. And that notion has, you know, been with her through her entire presidency. This whole scandal is not about her being a woman. It's her, what people say, is being a typically corrupt politician.
Reporter Jason Strother in Seoul, thank you for your time.
Thanks a lot, Marco.
Here's another story about change in Korea, but this one is more of an evolution. There's a new saying there: to have two daughters wins you a gold medal. To have two sons, it's a neck medal. That's code for a noose. It didn't used to be this way. Even just a generation ago, Korean couples would go to great lengths to have a son. But there's been a complete turnaround. As Heidi Shin reports, the country's reverence for boys has turned into a slight preference for girls.
그럼, 4명, 날을 다
That's my aunt. She's almost 80 years old.
She remembers the day she gave birth to her fourth daughter. I cried so much, I almost fainted, she says. I couldn't believe I had another daughter. Four daughters. She says, I had to keep having children because I thought I needed a son. It's the only reason I have four kids, not because I wanted four kids. Korea, traditionally, has been a Confucian society. That meant sons inherited most of the property and carried on the family name. So in my aunt's generation, there are plenty of families with multiple daughters, then finally a son. But when ultrasound technology was introduced to Korea in the late 80s, suddenly far fewer girls were born.
너무 사람들이 저기 유산을 많이 했어. 그래가지고
So many people aborted babies back then, my aunt says. A few months in, when they could tell it was a girl, they'd get an abortion. The consequences were seen years later when their surviving sons grew up. In rural Korea, there weren't enough women to marry, so men turned to foreign mail-order brides. But fast forward 25 years, things have changed. Many new Korean parents would prefer daughters. Here's my cousin Soyoung from the other side of the family. She was thrilled to learn she was having a girl.
남자는 키워봤자 소용이 없어요. It's really no use to have a boy.
They just grow up to leave you and take care of their wives, she says. In the past, you needed a son to carry out Buddhist rituals, to worship your ancestors. But as people are living longer, they're less concerned about being honored after death and more concerned about being cared for while alive. As it turns out, they say, daughters are better for this than sons.
Of course, me, yeah. I don't expect my brother to live close to my mom when he gets married. He always says that he's going to go somewhere else near his wife's family. So that's a new trend.
In the past, your oldest son and his wife would live with you. But that's no longer the case. Sons are moving out when they get married, and parents are burdened with buying them new homes. In contrast, women like Soyoung are moving closer to their aging parents. Since daycare options are limited, she depends on her mom for childcare.
Now that most of the women are working and they need a support, so if they need a support, they want to get it from their mom's side versus in-laws, right?
And her parents now have an adult daughter nearby to help them out with things like hospital visits and finances, especially now since more elderly are living alone. In 2016, women have the means to do this. Girls are outperforming boys in school and getting better entry-level jobs. Laws have changed too, allowing sons and daughters to inherit equally from their parents. And now doctors aren't permitted to tell patients the gender of a child until late in the second trimester, when an abortion is much less likely. So in 2016, the ratio of boys born in South Korea compared to girls is back to normal. As for my cousin Soyoung, she's grateful for her 2-year-old daughter and doesn't plan on having more.
I was so relieved that I don't have to have a second baby. I think I've got what I want.
Her friends with sons, though, they still talk about trying for a daughter, but worry about the prospects of having another boy.
That'll be a disaster, they said.
My elderly aunt gathers with friends at a community center. They talk about their daughters and the careers they wished they'd had. And they brag about the kids they raised, their sons and their daughters. My aunt says, of course I was disappointed then, but now I think, maybe I did a good job having those girls. My daughters, they know my heart, so I'm not lonely. But Korea can still be a hard place for women, they admit. There's the pressure to be beautiful, to get plastic surgery. Harassment is common. And women don't get promoted at work the way men do. So when it comes to grandchildren, I ask, do you have a preference for granddaughters or grandsons? Well, it turns out, many young couples are choosing to have just one kid or to be child-free. So most grandparents, they're grateful to have any grandchild at all. For The World, Heidi Shin, Seoul, South Korea.